Why don't more infant formula companies use organic, grass-fed whole milk instead of skim? Why don't more infant formula companies use the latest breast milk science? Why don't more infant formula companies run their own clinical trials? Why don't more infant formula companies use more of the proteins found in breast milk? Why don't more infant formula companies have their own factories instead of outsourcing their manufacturing? We wondered the same thing. So we made ByHeart, a better formula for formula. Learn more at ByHeart.com.
I was going to the doctors saying that I didn't feel right, and they was asking what my symptoms were. So I said, you know, I keep going really dizzy, my speech keeps going, I keep going numb, I can't walk, I can't speak, I can't do anything. And they was like, oh, it just sounds like migraines, you know, you'll be fine, you've suffered from migraines before, we can see that you suffered with them in school, so you know, you'll be fine. It was the 1st of December, and I remember that because it was my mum and dad's 25th wedding anniversary. We was all getting ready to go out for a meal, and I was at home with my partner getting ready to go out. We was all dressed and everything. We were sat on the sofa and we was watching The Voice. I just remember sitting there and I remember not feeling great. So I went to talk to him and say, I'm not feeling great, but my words just wouldn't come out. I was having my baby shower, and then once everyone had gone home, I got a box of chocolates. I went upstairs to bed to watch telly and just lay in bed. And then it happened again where I didn't feel right. So I tried to ring my partner and he answered the phone, but I just couldn't speak. My words couldn't come out. I couldn't talk, everybody could hear me. I wouldn't even say it was crying. It was more, I was trying to cry, but it was more like a wailing sound. It wasn't like it was before. I just didn't have the energy to go to work. I was taking days off sick, and I never did that. But I just couldn't get up to go to work. And my partner was calling me lazy, was saying, you know, you're lazy, you need to go to work, you can't keep doing this. Like, I can't help it, I just can't do it.
Hello, Mark Goodyear here. Welcome to Stroke Stories. It's the podcast that seeks out and hears from stroke survivors. Today, we hear from Charlie Lord from Preston. Charlie suffered a stroke at the age of 19.
After school, I went to college and did hair and beauty, but I didn't feel like that was what I wanted to do, so I left doing that. And when I left school, I started working in a warehouse, and I was there for nearly 3 years. I left that and went to Boots Pharmacy, and I loved that. I loved working with all medications and, you know, dispensing people's prescriptions and things. I absolutely loved it, and it was going really, really well. And then I met my partner, my children's dad, when I was 18, and we moved out quite quickly. I think we'd only been together a few months, and we moved out quite quickly, and we also fell pregnant quite quickly with my first daughter. And the pregnancy was going absolutely fine. Everything was perfect, actually. Everything was going absolutely perfect until I hit about, I was about 30 weeks pregnant when I just didn't start feeling right. And I was going to the doctors saying that I didn't feel right, and they was asking what my symptoms were. So I said, you know, I keep going really dizzy, my speech keeps going, I keep going numb, I can't walk, I can't speak, I can't do anything. And they was like, oh, it just sounds like migraines, you know, you'll be fine, you've suffered from migraines before, we can see that you suffered with them in school, so, you know, you'll be fine. And they just kept happening more frequently, but they wasn't massive ones. They happened for about 5-6 minutes, and then they just disappeared, and I just come straight back to normal. And then it was the 1st of December, and I remember that because it was my mum and dad's 25th wedding anniversary. We was all getting ready to go out for a meal, and I was at home with my partner getting ready to go out. We was all dressed and everything. We were sat on the sofa and we was watching The Voice. I just remember sitting there, and I remember not feeling great. So I went to talk to him and say, I'm not feeling great, but my words just wouldn't come out. So I was tapping him, and he was looking at me, and he could tell how scared I was because I couldn't speak. I couldn't do anything, and I just couldn't move. So he rang an ambulance and then rang my mum and dad, because we lived down the road from them then. So my mum and dad came, but by the time they came and the ambulance came, my speech and everything came back to normal. I felt absolutely fine. So they was checking everything on me, my blood pressure, checking everything, and said, oh, it just looks like it's another migraine. If the doctors have said it's a migraine, then it must just be one of them. But then, from the 1st of December up until I had my big stroke, It was my speech didn't come back fully. I really struggled to talk. I had to think about for about 5 minutes what I was going to say before I said it. And then on the 2nd of January, I was having my baby shower and my sister kind of took over and did all the speaking and all the games and everything for me because I just couldn't do it. But it was a very busy, full-on day. And then it was also my partner's birthday that day as well. So he was out with his friends and I was having my baby shower. And then once everyone had gone home, I got a box of chocolates. I went upstairs to bed to watch telly and just lay in bed. And then it happened again where I didn't feel right. So I tried to ring my partner and he answered the phone, but I just couldn't speak. My words couldn't come out. I couldn't talk. Everybody could hear me. I wouldn't even say it was crying. It was more, I was trying to cry, but it was more like a wailing sound because I just couldn't make any noise. So we was home within 5-10 minutes and my symptoms were still there. I couldn't get up to go to the toilet. I just couldn't do anything. But because the hospital and the doctors have said it was migraines, we just kind of just let it go like it was just a migraine. And then everything was fine with the birth. They let me have a natural birth with my first daughter and that was all great.
Charlie returned to work after a year.
It wasn't like it was before. I just didn't have the energy to go to work. I was taking days off sick and I never did that. But I just couldn't get up to go to work. And my partner was calling me lazy. He was saying, you know, you're lazy. You need to go to work. You can't keep doing this. Like, I can't help it. I just can't do it. And then one morning I dropped my daughter off at nursery. I took the bus to the bus station and I just collapsed. There was a nice lady who took me to the hospital. No, she took me home, sorry. And at that time, we lived with my in-laws. So she took me home and my mother-in-law took me to the hospital. She took me to A&E and a doctor saw me there, did all the checks and things. And then they took us upstairs and we were waiting for a while. And then a nurse called Penny, she came and took me into a room and she sat with me and my mother-in-law for about 5 minutes. And then a doctor come in and sat down and said, you've had a stroke. And I kind of just sat there and my mother-in-law just looked at me and we both just went, what do you mean I've had a stroke? And he said, it's quite an old stroke. He said, but you've had a big stroke. So they kept me in for 3-4 days just to do loads of different tests on me. And that was quite a lot to get my head round. So I just didn't understand it. You know, I was 19. I shouldn't have had a stroke at that age. Well, that's what I thought. You know, you're too young to have a stroke. But yeah, so then they let me out after that. But then it just kept happening. I just kept feeling like I was before I had the big stroke, like just the little mini ones. So I went back to the doctors and he couldn't see anything. He couldn't see anything else, like nothing else was happening. So he didn't understand why I kept feeling like this. So he referred me to a doctor in Salford. And apparently the MRI and CT machines are a lot better than where they are from where I'm from in Preston. So they scanned me there and put loads of dyes in me and kept, I think they gave me about 3 or 4 MRIs. And then I spoke with the doctor and he said that they are mini strokes. I just keep having mini strokes. And if I don't do something about it, then it's going to turn into a massive one and I probably won't be able to walk or speak again.
Coming up, Charlie talks about her migraines.
They're called just consistent migraines where they'll always be there and they won't go away. So my head is just in pain all of the time. If my migraine is very bad and my fatigue is playing up at the exact same time, I can't lift anything up. I can't really walk. I struggle, even just on a normal day, I struggle to carry a cup of tea into the room with my left hand. It's quite hard.
And the help of her family.
All of my family have been amazing. My in-laws have been brilliant. They do everything. If I'm having, you know, a really bad day, my mother-in-law will come round and she'll have the kids whilst I just sleep for the day. They've all just been amazing, helping in loads of different ways.
Let's hear about Charlie's surgery.
That was scheduled in for the 9th, I think, of December, 8th or 9th of December in 2017. So I went to Salford and had that done, and I think I was under for about 9 hours. It was in my left side of my neck. One of the arteries going up to the brain had clogged. It had blocked completely. So it was, obviously it was affecting the right side of my body. So they had to cut a hole in my skull. I call it my fairy door because when I look at scans, it looks like a little door. It's like a door and it's got like a little hole in it, and they've taken one of the arteries from my scalp and put it through the little hole into my brain to replace the one that was in my neck. When I woke up, I was in there for a few days, and my daughter came and seen me, and everyone just come and seen me to see how I was. But I was home within 4 or 5 days, and I was just recovering at home. And then I was just recovering after that. But a few months after my operation, I fell pregnant with my second daughter. And obviously that pregnancy was terrifying, because all the way through, I just thought, this is going to happen all over again. You know, I'm going to have another stroke. It was just terrifying. But it was all okay. It was all fine. It was a perfect pregnancy. And then obviously I had my third daughter, and that pregnancy was okay as well. It just took it out of me, I think, because I already had two young ones, and with the lasting effects that the stroke has given me, where I'm just constantly fatigued, I'm constantly numb, I'm so tired. And sometimes if I'm extremely tired, I can't speak properly, so that it was just exhausting. So after I had my third daughter, I started having migraines again, but they wasn't like normal migraines, because I could still stand the light and I could still talk to people. It was just a pain in my head. So I went to the doctors and hospital a few times over that. My doctor from Salford said they are just very late effect from my stroke, and they're just, I think he said they're called just consistent migraines, where they'll always be there and they won't go away. So my head is just in pain all of the time. If my migraine is very bad and my fatigue is playing up at the exact same time, I can't lift anything up. I can't really walk. I struggle, even just on a normal day, I struggle to carry a cup of tea into the room with my left hand. It's quite hard. When I was first diagnosed with it, I think because I come across as just being okay, because I looked okay and because I could speak and I didn't, you know, I could walk and things, I think they just thought I was all right, I was okay. But I feel like the more years have gone on, the worse I've got. It's only really been this year where I've accepted, and I don't even know if that's the word I'd say, just kind of just got my head around the fact that I actually had a stroke. Because I think all these years from having my children and raising my children and all these other things that have been happening have just been non-stop. I think now I've had my last baby and she's growing up, I've just kind of sat there and all the things that have been, you know, brewing up and everything that's happened since my first baby, it's just, I think I've just now come to realisation that that's what's actually happened to me. And, you know, I think a lot of people should know that strokes do happen young. It isn't just old age when you have strokes. They can happen when you're young and, you know, and when you're pregnant. They can happen in very bizarre ways. So I think now is where I'm trying to look and find different charities and different things where I can help.
Charlie has set herself some short-term targets.
I think my personal goal is really just to raise more awareness of strokes in young people, because no one around me, none of like my family or anyone like that has had a stroke or really can understand things that I go through and why I am the way I am. So I think people that can resonate with me and, you know, understand things are people that have had strokes themselves. So I do want to raise more awareness and, you know, find people that are young and have had strokes so I can help them as well. And for myself, I think I just need to accept what's happened and try and build my strength up a bit. And just, I don't know, just try and just live happily. I'm not allowed to go back to work yet because of the fatigue and the migraines and the numbness. My doctor just said it just wouldn't be good for you right now. I need to try and sort myself out. All of my family have been amazing. My in-laws have been brilliant. They do everything. If I'm having, you know, a really bad day, my mother-in-law will come round and she'll have the kids whilst I just sleep for the day. They've all just been amazing, helping in loads of different ways.
And here is Charlie's advice for stroke survivors.
For the stroke survivor, I'd just say, just, you know, it's happened and it might be a bit rubbish that it has happened to you, but you know, there is positives in what has happened. You know, you are strong, and you can get through it and just keep fighting. And I think for a loved one, just help as much as you can, because they do need it. No matter how long down the line it has been, they still need help. Even if it's just going around for a cup of tea, just to speak or just listen to what they need to say. Because I think sometimes people, well, especially for me, try to keep it in, you know, not express everything that you're going through, and that can cause a lot of problems down the line. So I think just listen to them and what they need to express and what they need to get out, so then they're not holding it in, because it, you know, it can affect you way down the line, you know, mentally.
A lot has happened in the 9 years since Charlie had her stroke. She's had three children. She feels she's only just come to terms with what's happened to her. And she's now focused on her recovery and hoping to connect with other stroke survivors. Thanks for listening to Stroke Stories. Your support is very much appreciated. Please do rate and share and comment on the episode you hear to help us spread the word. And if you are, or you know a stroke survivor and there's a story that you can share, please get in touch via Twitter or Instagram. Our DMs are always open. The Stroke Stories podcast was produced by Aidan Judd. I'm Mark Goodyear. Thank you for listening.